She's the media maven with her finger on the pulse of the heartbeat of Chicago. If it's happening in the Windy City, she's got you covered. Now here's the lady that puts the fun in fundraising, Candid Candace Jordan.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. Oh, my God, it's such a beautiful day out here today. It's the type of day that just gives you so much energy. I'm with my co-host, my friend, my partner, the guy who puts the wheels on the bus, John St. Augustine. John, are you there?
I'm always here. Even if you don't think I'm there, I'm freaking there.
Oh, good. Well, that kind of is good news, bad news, isn't it?
It is.
This is such a beautiful day. I am so filled with energy. I'm so excited. And I'm so excited. You know, last week we tried to get my friend, the uber popular Amanda Puck on.
Yep,
we had some technical difficulties. And now she is here today. And I cannot wait to talk to her. Amanda Puck, who everybody in the world knows, but I'm just going to give you a little recap. She's a director of strategic brand development for Mariano's. She was the first host of Check Please. She was a VP of the Experiential Agency, which was an incredible marketing company. And she was recently honored by Bare Necessities Pediatric Cancer Foundation with the Woman of Honor for the evening. And she's more importantly, my friend, Amanda Puck. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Oh, my God, Candace, that's such an intro. Thank you. And I'm so happy that we worked through the technical difficulties.
Oh, my God, I am too. Well, you know, there is no one that has more fun in this city, I think, than you. I mean, every time
you do.
Listen, I see a social media post. You're with 1,000 of your best friends. You're at these fabulous restaurants. I mean, you have a great social life. I mean, what are you up to now?
Oh, well, we're up to a lot of stuff. I mean, there's always some fun restaurant event to enjoy. There's so many great, as you know, organizations. And, you know, I love you mentioned the Bear Tie Ball Award because that was a special night. And I'm so glad that you were there. It was, first of all, the night I got my puppy.
Yeah, Enzo.
Enzo. So he's actually been a lot of fun. And we're having a great time getting him out and about the city, let me tell you. So I'm bringing him.
Bet.
We're actually doing a PAWS adoption event tomorrow at the Mariano's in Frankfurt. Oh. So I'm like, if we're doing that, I'm bringing Enzo just so he can say hi to the puppies.
Oh, for sure. Is he a social little pup?
He is definitely social. He loves the ladies. He loves a good belly. He loves a good belly rub, and he is very friendly. And apparently, he's very popular. Like, you know, in the neighborhood, everyone knows Enzo, so he's fun. He's fun to be with. Yeah.
So this event tomorrow for PAWS. I mean, what time does it start? And can people still, you know, come up for it or show up for it or participate?
So we have, I believe it starts at 12, but let me Google that really quickly as we're talking. But we've had, this is our third or fourth this year. We also did them last year. And PAWS brings, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 puppies, depending on how many they have that are available that can come out. But Candace, it's such an uplift for like our customers. We have them outside. They're under their PAWS tent. It's so fun to see the kids and customers get really excited to see the dogs. I mean, who doesn't love, you know, puppies and dogs? And they get adopted, which is great. Oh. So it's a great opportunity for families to come in or individuals to come in and meet these dogs. And I remember last year there was this woman who found, I mean, she and this dog looked at each other and I saw it. I was actually watching. Their eyes locked and she signed the papers. And she was crying to me that she really wanted to get a puppy. She was looking for so long. And, you know, that PAWS brought this opportunity to them was incredible. So, I mean, I'm really hoping for a full 100% adoption tomorrow.
Oh, I bet. Well, you know what I love about you, Amanda? I mean, you're in charge of the community events for Mariano's. And you participate in so many nonprofit and so feel-good things like this. I mean, you know, what do you have coming up? And what have you done in the past recently? Because you're just so involved in the community.
You know, Candace, it's funny you should say that because as much as I am, you know, loving like the food scene and all the, you know, the events that I used to do and I still love those, but I really love what's most important to me in my role is giving back to the community. Mm-hmm. So last weekend, we actually worked with Chef Bill Kim and Chef Cedric Hardin from Urban Belly and from the Table at Crate organization. Mm-hmm. And I Am a Gentleman, which is a great organization that mentors young men in our community.
I've heard of that.
Oh my God. Honestly, we gave away 100 meals in Humboldt Park last Sunday, and the last 10 meals we gave to a family from Venezuela that pulled up in a van that heard about the giveaway, and they came and got a meal for the whole family, all the little kids. I mean, it was really a great afternoon to be able to have everyone share, you know, a dinner on a Sunday, which is so awesome. And they're a great group. And this weekend, we're very busy.
Let me interrupt you just a second. Yeah. Tell people what that I Am a Gentleman does, because I think it's an incredible premise.
It's an incredible organization. So I met Jermaine Lawrence Anderson is the CEO, and he runs the organization. And I met him in 2020 at a food pantry feeding event in Bronzeville. Mm-hmm. And we met and we completely hit it off. So his organization mentors young men in the community. They have seasons where they learn, you know, the basics, like, you know, how to tie a tie, how to, mm-hmm. you know, it's like a very social, you know, group also. But they learn, you know, really life hacks, life tricks. He really brings up these kids in the community. He gives them responsibility, and they really form a network, and then they get out in the community, and then they get back to the community. So I've had the privilege of working with all of these gentlemen over the last several years. But just so you see the power that he has in giving back to the community, in 2020, when some of our stores were looted, our Bronzeville store was really severely damaged. And it was, we thought it was going to take like 2 weeks to get the store even in some sort of capacity up and running. And but we were prepared. Like, we have a corporate team. Everyone was coming down to work on it. He said to me, Amanda, I'm going to send 50 volunteers there tomorrow. And I said, Jermaine, no, like, you there's other, you know, like, there's other people that might need help. Like, we're fine. And he said to me, it's our store and we want it back.
Oh, wow.
I know. I can't believe I'm telling you this without crying, because usually I start, waterworks come on. But he sent, you know, all these volunteers. He got a group of people and some of the kids in the program. And we all cleaned the store, put it back together. I mean, it was a really amazing, humbling experience for me. And ever since then, we've been partnering on feeding the community, partnering on different events. He does a great Christmas holiday giveaway, helping families with gifts. And I know it's like heartwarming, and it's such a great people running that organization. So it's
I love it. That special. Sounds fabulous. Yeah. Oh, I love it. Well, you know, you're talking about crying. You know, you told me we were going to have cocktails. So
yes.
You hear that?
Yes.
I'm here ready.
I have mine too. I have mine
John,
too.
Do you have something?
I finished mine a half hour ago.
Yeah, or TGIF, like aperitivo hour, I guess,
yeah,
4 o'clock.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Amanda, I know you love your nonprofits, and as I do, of course, but, you know, your nickname, when I remember you, when I first met you, was a Foodarazzi.
Yes.
I mean, that's how crazy you were about, you know, the food, the chefs, the restaurants. And so I do have to ask you some food-related questions, of course.
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, Chicago Gourmet is coming up September 21st through the 24th, and I'm sure you're going to be there, right?
I'm going to every single thing. Like, they, I posted on Instagram, on there. I saw their post, and they were like, which events are you going to? I'm like, all of them. I'm going to every single one. I can't wait, and I'm excited.
Okay, well, then you're the perfect person to ask, because, you know, there's a lot of people that perhaps have not been to Chicago Gourmet. Tell me what people can expect there.
People can expect to see like the who's who and the most, you know, incredible restaurateurs preparing food, some winemakers, some great wine representatives, master sommeliers handing out delicious wine samples. It really is, you know, a really awesome experience. Thursday night it starts with an event, and I love this. It's actually our team favorite. We're not participating as, you know, samplers, but it's called Tacos and Tequila.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
And Rich Bayless is the host of that one. So, as you know, like, he's, you know, so incredible. And it's fun. It's fun. You just go and you try tequila drinks, tequila, tacos from all different taquerias across the city. And it's just like a special night, because, I don't normally get that kind of opportunity to get out to try all those places. So it's great that they bring them to one spot.
Yeah, all one spot. Well, you know, I'm going to go to the Hamburger Hop this year.
Oh, I'll see you there.
And, yeah, and I'm going to cover that for Cranes. So, you know, I've never been to the Hamburger Hop before, and I'm looking forward to it. And, of course, so Chuck is thrilled to death that there's going to be cheeseburgers at an event surrounding his favorite food. So, yeah, we'll be there. We'll see you there.
So my only pro tip for the Hamburger Hop is to share the bite, because it's, you know, I think the first year I went, I got so excited that I actually ate the whole sample. And by the time you get to the 10th, you know, you really just are – you're really kind of like full. So whoever I'm with, like, you know, this year, I'm going with some work friends, but also my husband Billy's coming, who I know you know.
Oh, good. I love
and,
him.
And yeah, so our strategy, we like to split the bites, because it's like a lot of food, but it's all delicious, and you have to try every one, obviously.
Oh, goodness. Is it crowded? I mean, are there cool people there? Who will I see, do you think?
You will see a lot of, you know, individuals in the restaurant business, a lot of people in hospitality. You'll see just a lot of people who want to get out into the city and try, you know, and it is crowded. It is, I'd say it's packed. Yes. It's great to see, you know, the judges and, you know, you'll be there and the media that attends. So it definitely is a great event to kind of get reconnected with everyone in Chicago.
Well, that's cool.
Maybe the mayor will be there. You never know. I think Mayor Lori Lightfoot was there last year. I remember that. So we'll see.
Oh, well, that would be great. Yeah, I'd love to meet him. Give him some tips on taking care of the city. I'm sure he would be anxious to listen to me.
I'm sure you and I can just sit down with him. And,
We can corner
over a burger and just, you know, tell him.
Yeah, well, I got some things I'd like to talk about. But anyway, let's see. What was I going to say? Oh, so, you know, I know you grew up in Staten Island. Is that right?
That is, yes.
And that you developed, you developed your love of food from being in your grandparents' garden.
Yes.
Oh, tell me about that experience.
So I don't garden because I've only lived really in apartments since I've lived in Chicago, but my best memories from growing up were my grandfather had this huge backyard. I don't know how much it was, but like in size, but we had a huge tomato garden. He probably had like 200 tomato plants. He built his own greenhouse and he actually grew tomato plants to give to people in the neighborhood. So he didn't even he didn't sell them or anything. He just gave them out to families and he actually worked at a church and he gave them out to some underserved families as well. So I think that's where I get my community, focus from. Mm-hmm. And, but we grew like the Cucuza Italian zucchini and watermelon and squash. And I used to stuff squash blossoms with my grandmother. So I really do have this love for farming and fresh produce and making it accessible. And I love, in Chicago, I love supporting Urban Growers Collective, which is a farm in Bronzeville. They have several locations, but I mean, what they do for the community and how they bring farmers together and make produce accessible for families throughout the city is really special. And I get their produce box once a week. So it's for me, every Saturday is Christmas now because I get a giant bag of veggies that I get to cook for the week.
Do they have a stand or someplace where people can go to buy that fresh produce?
I think you can sign up for their Saturday pickup. So you can either go there and pick it up or they can deliver it. I don't know off the top of my head if they do, but they used to have a mobile unit that they would take around town, but I'm sure they still do that. But they're really great about making that accessible and posting recipes on their website. So when you get your box, you kind of know what to make with it. And, you know, it's kind of an adventure. The first time I had cardoons, do you know what those are?
No, of course not.
So it's like this, it's supposed to taste like an artichoke. It's actually a stalky, it looks like a very spiky piece of celery, very dark. So it has an artichoke color, but you have to peel it. And it takes like tender loving care because these things are like thorny, so you have to wear gloves. But you and I did it. I called Tony Priolo actually. I'm like, what do I do with these things? So he's like, peel them, blanch them, fry them. So I made it tasted like a fried artichoke. So
well, you had me at fried, Amanda. So, you know, I'm all over that, whatever that food is you just said.
Yeah, it was really fun. So it's fun to get the box every week. So I don't know what'll be in tomorrow's, but I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, well, you know, what's the most unusual food you've ever tried?
I mean, I have to say cardoons was pretty much up there because I just never even seen them. And apparently they're an Italian-American kind of veggie. I just never seen them. But as far as odd, I mean, I think, I'm sure I've had, some sort of fun, crazy meat things. I mean, I don't think sweetbreads are that odd, but I do love sweetbreads and foie gras and all that kind of stuff. But I haven't had anything, I haven't had grass. Oh, I did. Oh my gosh. We were sampling local products because I'm in charge of our local vendor program, one of the people in charge of it.
Yeah.
And we got all these samples, and one was these cookies, and it was called Hoppy Planet. So I was in my mind thinking it was made from hops, beer hops. So I'm eating them, oh my God, these cookies are delicious. It was a chocolate chip and whatever. And all of a sudden, one of my team members goes, Amanda, he goes, I think that they use cricket flour. I was like, what? I just had never had it. And I was very pleasantly surprised how great it was. And it actually is a really good selling item because apparently it's higher in protein. So a lot of people who are on those sorts of diets prefer things that are made out of cricket.
Oh God. Okay. Well, the most unusual food I ever had was, I was on a media trip to Qatar, to Doha, and we tried camel.
Yeah.
And it was at an Alain Ducasse restaurant and, it tasted like chicken.
Isn't it funny how everything ends up tasting like chicken, no matter
exactly.
What
yeah, but it was it was so heavily sauced it could have been any food. I don't know, but so I had to try that just to
was
tell
it tender? Was it tough? Was it what was it?
It was a little tough from what I recall, but fortunately it was a really small piece, so it didn't look like I left a lot on my plate. I think camels are very cute and adorable, so it was hard for me to eat that. But anyway, I think pigs are cute too, and I love pork. So, hey, where am I going with this, John? Do you have any unusual foods that you like?
Oh my gosh! Every time you get on, I'm like, what? What pork? Camel? How did we get here? I think the most unusual thing I've ever had was iguana.
Oh.
And that tasted
like chicken.
Chicken. No, yeah. Chickens rule the world.
Where did you eat iguana?
In Florida.
Oh, that makes sense.
Somewhere at some bar about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you remember what that tasted like.
Yeah.
Oh, well, anyway.
Was there tequila involved in that as well?
Yeah, I think it was bourbon. Probably bourbon.
All right.
Bourbon. Yeah, he's a bourbon drinker. Well, Amanda, so when you and Billy are home alone with Enzo, what's your favorite go-to dish that you'd like to prepare?
Pasta a la vodka, Gigi Hadid's recipe.
Oh, really? Tell me what makes her recipe different.
I think it's fun to say that you're using her recipe. I feel like
she's a model, John, if you don't know who she is. She's a top model.
Okay.
Gigi Hadid. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
I Googled. I feel like I never can nail the recipe. So I Googled vodka sauce recipes and hers kept coming up. And I did try it and it was very easy. And everyone really loves it. So we have friends over. I'll make it because it's like a very easy go-to. But for what makes it special for me is that Billy, I think last year or 2 years ago, bought me my own pasta machine. So I actually can make my own pasta, but it makes shapes. So you have to get the right die. So it really is like you're out of like, I have these really crazy shapes. I have like 10 of them. And so we love to make the pasta and then make the sauce, but it has to be the homemade pasta because it makes such the difference with the sauce. But the sauce is just velvety and like delicious and creamy. And it's really only a few ingredients. So it makes it kind of easy to make. You just can't forget the vodka.
Oh, now I'm starved to death. Oh my God, that sounds so good. Oh, but you know, you're at a lot of restaurants and I see you with different chefs and places around town. What are some of your favorite restaurants?
Well, it's hard to say favorite, obviously.
I know,
but
it's like children.
A lot. I love Monteverde. I love Sarah Gruneberg and and Jamie. They're like the best people, and we've actually become friendly with them. And it's fun to go to their restaurant and just see, you know, what great things they're doing and putting out. And I did buy her cookbook, and I cook a lot of stuff out of it. I actually made my own ricotta cheese because it was in her book.
Oh my
and I
God!
I can't make ricotta cheese, and I did, and it was delicious. And it was like, and I flavored it with lemon, and I used it in another pasta dish that I make. So I feel like she makes things that seem a little like intimidating for a home cook very accessible.
Mm-hmm.
I love Tony Priolo. I mean, who doesn't? He does so much good in our city, and he's, you know, definitely an example, and he's awesome. So we eat.
And he does it all. I mean, he's a chef. He's a ball player. You know, he loves baseball, and I mean everything at the. And he's at any kind of a charity event. He seems to be the head of it.
Yeah.
You know, like chef's cook
like leading the charge. Yep.
Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt. Tell me what other chefs you
have. Example. He's like, I love Sarah Stegner and Prairie Grass Cafe in Northbrook. So whoever lives in that area, it's like a go-to. It's a must. Her food is so delicious, fresh. She really focuses on sustainability and organic ingredients. And I mean, she's just a great all-around chef as well. So I love going there when I can. I mean, I could be here all night, Candace, talking to you about this.
Oh, I know. I love it. Well, I love food, but I don't know it as like you do. You're like a professor of the food industry here in Chicago. And, you know, you really know so much. I mean, you have a Mariano's magazine that covers, you know, some of your favorite chefs and you have them on the cover and you have their dishes. And by the way, that magazine is spectacular. I love it, what you do with it.
Candace, thank you so much. We work really hard on it. And I love that we also get to showcase a lot of what we do in Chicago Star Media because it's so special to be able to like tell the chef's stories. I always try to put that voice in there with the chefs. I mean, Dominique Leach from Lexington Betty, she just won the Food Network show, Barbecue Brawl. So now she's, you know, Bobby Flay named her the Master of Q. So we sell a lot of her products at Mariano's, but she's like an excellent chef who has an amazing background and great story of how she built her business. And there's so many great restaurants out there in Chicago like this. When you really get to know the chefs and hear their stories, it actually makes it more special.
Oh, I bet it does. And that's what, you know, it makes it. Listen, if you could have a dinner with any historical figure or celebrity, who would it be?
Oh my God, it's so easy. I would have it with, I've always been obsessed with Julia Child. So I would definitely be her. Like, there's nothing about her that I don't love and appreciate. I love that she became really successful in her career that she had imagined in her 40s. I love that she was so committed to food and, you know, teaching individuals about food. I mean, I think that part is so cool. And when I went to DC a few years ago, we went to the Smithsonian to see her kitchen and how, you know, because she was so tall, like they had to alter, you know, her countertops and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. So it was really, really neat. And I met her once in real life. So that to me,
really, where did you meet her?
I went to hospitality school at Cornell University in Ithaca, New York, and she came in for, I think to teach a class or something, but we had these food labs, and you know, I was always in there, like, doing something, so I was in one of the labs, and she walked in to see it, and I literally, like, you know, couldn't believe it, and I think I was probably, like, 18 or 19, however old you are in college, and, she stuck her hand into a giant can of garbanzo beans and started eating them. And I was like, oh my God, this one is awesome. Like, first of all, who would like stick your hand in a can of garbanzo beans? She did and was like snacking on them. I was like, cool.
Yeah. Oh, she's my kind of woman. I love it. Well, yeah. You've probably seen all those shows and films that they've, you know, highlighted her and featured her. And one of the things that I loved on her cooking shows is that on live TV, if something went wrong, she'd say, oh, screw it, or oh, that's too bad, just throw it in the garbage and start over from scratch. I mean, nothing ever fazed her. I mean, she was just she was such a down-to-earth, great woman. And with all that talent, I you're lucky to have met her. That's a real experience.
It was a short but very impactful meeting. And, you know, at work, we talk a lot about, you know, our associates being their authentic selves. And I think it's hard, you know, sometimes for people to really be themselves in a workplace or, you know, out or anywhere in an environment. You know, everything is so, you know, there's lots of, you know, issues these days. But I think she truly, that's why she was so good at that, because that was her authentic self. If something fell on the ground or, you know, something didn't work right, you know, she just worked through it and, like, made, you know, kind of made light of it in a good way. And I think that's a lot, that's something we all can learn from.
100%. And she made mistakes that we would all make. And, you know, since it didn't bother her, then it didn't bother us. I mean, she made us all very comfortable in the kitchen. Well, me, not so much, but I mean, to her audience, the real people. So, John, are you a cook by any chance? I don't know if I've ever asked you.
I am. I actually know my way around pretty well, but especially if you get me near a grill, just stand back.
What's your signature dish?
Well, anything I can grill, any sort of mammal, right? If I can get a hold of a mammal and put it on the grill, get it all a little sautéed up there and, you know, bam it up a little bit, I'm good to go. And I can do anything from steaks to steaks.
Well, you've got a wide range. Great.
Got it covered.
I got it covered.
Well, you're going to have to cook for us one of these days.
You know what? There's something about being outside in front of a fire and a flame like that, you know, and Mariano's, I know, has, because I go there quite often, they have like a place where you can buy a steak and they'll cook it right there for you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever knew that.
Yeah.
You do so much at Mariano's. I mean, Amanda, there are so many things that happen at that store. I mean, people are having cocktails or meeting dates or getting married. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. You created a whole different shopping and for grocery experience.
I love when I meet people or I'll see them, you know, out randomly. And they'll be like, oh, I met my best friend at the bar at Mariano's. And I do. I spend a lot of time in the stores. I mean, you can always find me at one of them.
Yeah.
But I think it's so cool, like, to see that bar crowd. I mean, it's a commute. It's like a really cool neighborhood crowd. They love, we have live music on Friday nights. People really love coming in on those nights. We'll have winemakers come in and, like, do sampling. So we'll have, you know, a little extra benefit. We'll have, you know, a lot of, like, activity for them, which is really fun. And they just love it. And they become friends, which I think is even cooler.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, let me ask you as an expert, where do you see the Chicago's restaurant community moving towards? How do you see this all shaken out? I mean, you know, obviously we've got the crime that's, you know, kind of cutting down on restaurants. I mean, they're having to close earlier because they're afraid to stay open too late. I mean, what do you think is going to happen with all of this? Where do you think we're heading?
No one works harder and has more energy than Chicago chefs. And I think that although times in Chicago can be hard, I think that they're going to work through it. I mean, I go every time, you know, I just went to Fiorella Steak for the first time last weekend, which, by the way, is amazing. And it was jam-packed. And not only was it jam-packed, but when you walk out onto Fulton Street was jam-packed. And then we walked down to Randolph Street, and Randolph Street was jam-packed. So I think Chicagoans love their restaurants. They love their chefs. They love their foodie community. I really see them just, like, you know, just, like, surging on. I don't really see it stopping. I think everyone has concerns, but I think we're all going to get through it.
I do, too. I love that. That was great. Very well said. Well, where is Amanda headed? Where do you see yourself in the next few years? What kind of plans do you have? Any big travel adventures?
Like, find me in Italy. No, I'm kidding.
Retired on a yacht,
right outside of the Amalfi Coast. I'll be hanging out with the Cloonies.
I love your plans.
That's it. That's what it is. I really do. I mean, I do love to travel, and I love that I can bring a lot of that influence to my job. So we have, like, as we're starting these new global markets, where we're mm-hmm. showcasing paella kits from Jose Andreas. We're showcasing tinned fish. So I've gotten to travel a lot over the last, like, couple of years. So it's fun to see all of, you know, these items. But I think Billy and I, like, have our eye on the prize of, you know, one day just being able just to go to Italy and not come back.
Oh God, I love it. That is a great.
You're invited. You both are invited anytime.
You can bet. Yeah. Well, you know, the Clooneys are selling their place in Lake Como. Maybe you ought to keep your eye on there.
Maybe. I'm sure it's only probably $25 million or so. Who knows?
Yeah, well, I didn't price it, you know. Price is no obstacle to us here.
One of my cousins all the time sends me, he finds these listings for villas in Sicily or wherever for like $75,000. He's like, we need to find people and go in on this. And I just think it's funny because I think we all have the same idea.
Well, you know, I've read a story about this woman recently. Actually, I've read several stories similar. That, you know, some places, these small towns in Italy, they're selling these old beat up villas for like a dollar. And all they ask you to do is, you know, to put it back together again, and it's yours. And of course, I read the account of this woman who fell for this and bought it for a dollar. She said it was the worst experience of her life, but now she really loves the place because, you know, she's sunk like $14 million into it and it cost a dollar. Oh, so,
yeah.
But you see that happening all the time. I mean, I love Italy and we die to go back there one day. So good for you. I'm glad that. I hope your dream comes true, Amanda.
We'll see. And we're planning, Billy's having a big 60th birthday next year. So we're going to have a party in one of our favorite restaurants in Chianti. So we're excited about that. It'll be fun.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you've got a lot to look forward to. Well, Amanda, I want to thank you for taking the time. You know how much I love you. I loved you from the first moment I met you. And I think it was at that agency that you were head of.
I met you, I was so in awe of you. And you come up all the time in great conversations with people. Oh. And one thing I respect and admire about you so much is how much you do love Chicago and how much you put it in a positive light. And you support everything. And you're just, honestly, I don't know what Chicago would do without you.
I love you. Well, listen,
shining light.
Oh, right back to you, Amanda. Thank you for spending the time with me. I just love you to pieces. And we're so glad that we have you in Chicago. I'll tell you that right now. Thanks for being here.
I'm glad too. Thank
you. Okay, honey. Thank you, honey.
I'm going to go finish my cocktail now, so I'll talk to you later.
Oh, wait. Me too. I'll toast to you.
So I never can drink Pinot Grigio without thinking of you. Every time I get Pinot Grigio, I'm like, Candace loves this. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like having that reputation, but I go into restaurants and they have one sitting there waiting for me. So I don't know if that's good news or bad news.
No, it's good. All right. I just found a great one actually at like Tempesta Market. They have sandwiches. I'll find the name of the bottle, but they sell, Tempesta is awesome for sandwiches and great Italian stuff, but they have like a very small and tight wine section. And I just grabbed this great Pinot Grigio the other day and it was delicious. So I'll find the name of it. I'll send it.
Okay.
To
well,
it
you know really what good. We love is Mezza Corona and it's like $9 a bottle. It's my favorite. Yeah. Oh, it's fabulous. Anyway. Yeah. A cheap wine and a cheeseburger. It's all over for me.
Same.
I love you, Amanda.
Bye, guys.
Hamburger hop. Well, listen, isn't she a live wire?
She's delightful.
She is so delightful. It's no wonder that she's so beloved. I'm telling you, she could run for mayor herself in the city of Chicago.
There's a lot of folks that have been on the show I think could do a good job. But I actually ran into the mayor last week.
You're kidding me.
And I don't even live in Chicago.
Where?
So last Friday, Saturday, and Sunday was Hall of Fame days at Wrigley Field.
And you were with Randy Hundley.
I was with Randy at Wrigley Field last Sunday in the Ricketts box. Thank you very much. And then the mayor came in. And he can do some damage on some hot dogs. Let me report that. I was impressed.
Breaking news right
here.
Breaking
news, right.
Well, he's a tall guy, isn't he?
Depends on who's looking at him.
Oh, well, you're a tall guy. So yeah, so you're by eyeball to eyeball.
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, you never know who's going to go in there. I was a little surprised actually to be there myself. Randy asked me the day before, but he didn't say what we're doing. He said, I'm going to the ball game. You want to go with? Sure, I'll go to Wrigley.
Yeah.
Limo shows up at his house. We get the whole nine yards. They really rolled out the red carpet. They inducted Sean Dunstan and Mark Grace into the Cubs Hall of Fame. And all the names were there that are in the Hall of Fame. And Fergie Jenkins and all that. It was a great time. And when they were doing that on the field, we were up in the box. And, you know, maybe 15 minutes after the thing was finished, and comes this entourage, and here comes Mr. Mayor. And so they were there, and, you know, next thing you know, it's really interesting, because you're used to this stuff, I'm not.
Meaning that
people come in, and everybody wants their picture taken. There was a line of people, he's trying to eat his hot dogs, and in between bites, can I have another picture?
And he was nice about it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was nice
good.
About
it.
Yeah.
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 I judge people by whether or not they're amenable to taking photos
right.
with fans.
Right. And, I mean, let the guy, I'm like, let the guy eat first, right? So I get that part. But I got to tell you, I could hang out with the Ricketts. I'm
yeah, well,
telling you,
could...
the food, oh my gosh.
Listen, they'd be lucky to have you hanging around with them, John. So there's that.
And
for
I had
sure.
I had one of those moments. Any Cub fan from back in the day could can kind of relate to this. At one point, I'm sitting in Crane Kenny's studio, which is a little bit further down. A suite, I should say. They're all connected. And Crane is the president of the Cubs. We had a delightful conversation about how he got involved in the organization and stuff like that. And they're really getting behind the alumni, the older guys, that they are very well aware of the fact that they were the ones that really changed the course of Cubs history in the 60s that kind of got them off that 25-year losing streak. But anyway, at one point I'm sitting between Billy Williams and Randy Hundley eating ice cream out of a little mini Cubs batting helmet. And I'm thinking to myself, how does a guy like me end up all these years later in the Ricketts box talking to the president of the Cubs between Billy Williams and Randy Hundley having an ice cream out of a mini Cubs helmet? Friggin' amazing.
If only we had a photo.
I have a photo, but it's only from behind. I'll send it to you.
Oh, you have very to send cool. it
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, I will.
Did you steal the little tiny Cubs helmet?
You know, I wanted to. I thought they probably got a camera. I ain't taking nothing. But I did fill up pretty good. Then they brought a dessert cart in at a ball game. You can have anything you want. What do you want? Take whatever you want. So that was great. We had a great time there. They were really, really generous with the alumni. I had a great conversation. And by the way, now I can say that Randy's book's available for purchase.
Yeah, I was going to ask you
yes,
that because
finally.
I saw you posted it. Well, tell everybody where they could get this book.
So, yeah, it came out last week on the 9th. He wore number 9. It just kind of worked out that way. It was also his daughter Renee's birthday, which was kind of cool. And so it's out now. And if you go to lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com, and just in the search bar put Iron Man, you'll get the book. I'm keeping it publisher direct for now because, as I've said before, I'm not a huge fan of Amazon, and it gets diluted and moved around. So right now, yeah, for right now, it's just direct from the publisher, which is Lulu, L-U-L-U.com. In a little search bar, put Iron Man in there, and you'll find the book. $19.99 plus shipping.
Well, it's worth it. I have it, and it's a beautiful book. I mean, you have fabulous pictures in it. I mean, you got the foreword by Fergie Jenkins. I mean, it's you do such a great job. Anything you touch is turns to gold. So
I was so proud to work on this project with him, and he's a dear friend for a very long time. And it was just time to do it, and it came out, I don't know, about better than I expected because it's a lot of work, but I'm good with it.
Yeah, well, good for you. And yeah. I love our copy. I especially love the fact that you signed it. So, you know, that's a little special.
I think Hundley signed it too, didn't he?
Yes, but, of course.
Okay,
but, you
good.
Know, your signature is what touched
right.
my heart.
Okay.
You know, I want to change the subject to something that's a little sad. I saw something before we got on the show. Michael Douglas has put out a video on Instagram, and it looks like he's saying goodbye.
Really?
Yeah, it really was upsetting. He's got like 600,000 views and comments, and people are saying, "What's this about, man?" I mean, he says, "You know, well, it's the end." And then he says, "Of the season," and he goes on to say, "You know, I hope. Have you read a good book lately? Have you kissed a friend? Have you made a new friend?" I mean, it. And he looks very sick. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
I was very,
he's got to be almost 80, right?
Well, that's not old.
Well,
God,
no, it isn't, really.
No, it's not old. And so it was worrisome. And anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because I saw it right before we got on. But anyway, on a bright note,
yes.
I do want to mention, Maria Pappas is a Cook County Treasurer. She is out there and she is killing it.
Yeah.
She is all over the airwaves. ABC7 hosted her 8th phone bank yesterday, and she gave away $2.6 million in refunds for homeowners that they were owed. And over the 8 phone banks that they've held, get this, she has returned $31 million to Chicago taxpayers.
Well, listen, here's the thing. This is why I say to you all the time, you got to bring this stuff up on this show because you don't hear that a lot in the news. What's coming back to the people? So good for her.
Oh, my God. I don't know anybody that's doing as much good as she is.
Hey, you know what we need to do, CJ?
What?
We need to get her to give us $14 million. Go buy a frickin' villa in Italy.
Yeah, there you go.
And we'll do the show from there.
Or we could have a phone bank for our charity, us.
And then we could go to Mariano's and have him cook our steak for us while you drink Pinot Grigio.
Yeah, now we got a life. Oh, God, I'm telling you. Well, let's see. Wait, I got other things to talk about. Oh, God. Okay, listen to this. This is amazing. So last night we went to, no, not last night. Wait, what night was it? We've been to so many events, I'm getting confused.
I would imagine.
Okay, on Wednesday night, we went to see, I know I've talked about this event before it happened, but Wednesday night, the Navy SEAL Midwest Evening of Tribute. They held it at the Navy Pier in the Grand Ballroom. Mm-hmm. I am telling you, it was the most astounding presentation event. They raised over $4.6 million. Wow. They had 600 people there. But I am going to tell you about the keynote speaker.
Okay. Now,
this is the most unbelievable woman that I think I've ever heard of in my life. Her name is Susan Kilrain, K-I-L-R-A-I-N. Mm-hmm. She's a retired NASA astronaut. Mm-hmm. She's a mother of four. She's a Navy jet fighter pilot. And she piloted the Space Challenger, the Challenger shuttle twice. She's married to a retired Navy SEAL who was military advisor to the director of the CIA and assistant to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. She's flown over 3,000 flight hours in 30 different aircraft, including the Tomahawk. And she's a children's book author.
You know, that's incredible. And I also think, what have I been doing?
That's what I asked myself. I slapped myself in the washroom. I was so ashamed of my lack of abilities. I mean, it was just unending. And she was the nicest human on the planet. She gave the most incredible talk.
Wow.
She was humble. And beforehand, her husband got up to introduce her. And he should be a stand-up comedian because he was telling all these stories about her. He says, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. He said, she doesn't know her left hand from her right hand. So I said, well, that has to be good as a fighter pilot.
Right, right.
But, I mean, she flew in the Tomahawk. She told a story about her flight commander on her first flight on the Tomahawk. He says, well, I'm going to let you do the controls in the front. I'm going to get in the back, you know, where there's no controls. And
right.
She says that they got out. And something went wrong, and she says that everything was going haywire. The whole dashboard was all lit up, and she says, and I think at that point in time, he was kind of upset that he was in the back seat. but she landed it perfectly, and of course, it was nowhere but up from there. But I mean, I'm telling you, it was the most inspiring evening. It was incredible.
Yeah, when you get around people like that.
Ugh. It was incredible. And then on Thursday, you know, we went to the Adler Planetarium. They hosted the Celestial Bash.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a clear night, so one of the options was that you could look through their telescope, which is the largest in the Chicagoland area that's open to the public, and you could see Saturn.
You could see the rings of Saturn and everything?
Well, I personally didn't see the rings, but they said, people that looked at it said that, yeah, they were there. No, when I went there, of course, to look in the massive telescope, mm-hmm. it was the cloud cover went over, so all I could see were like two little pinpricks of stars. And but other people that were luckier than me did indeed see the rings of Saturn, so that was pretty exciting.
It's always humbling. I mean, even out where I live, it's a little less light where you're at. I mean, you have more light in the city than we do out here. And I can most nights see the Big Dipper, Little Dipper, depends on how long I wait and let my eyes adjust. It's fascinating. All that just, that we're this little blue dot.
And wait a minute, listen to this. I've got to tell you this. So they have this little thing called the Atwood Sphere, which is the first planetarium. I mean, it's like built in 1912 and the Adler acquired it in the 1990s. And it's a real tiny thing, but guests can go up in it, like six people in these little chairs, and you go up in it, and it's got like 700 little holes in it, which represent, you know, the constellations and everything else. But this Dr. Laura Chui was the, she conducted the little tour, and here's what she said, and I thought this was so interesting. She says, looking up at the stars tonight, keep in mind that about half of the stars have planets orbiting around them, and there's about 100 billion stars in our galaxy, so that means there are billions of little solar systems out there.
Yeah.
And she says, we found about 5,000 exoplanets. Those are planets outside the solar system. She says, but that's like the tip of the iceberg in terms of discovery. And they haven't found, obviously, another Earth out there yet, she said. But,
right.
I mean, we are nothing. We are less than specks of dust.
You know, and that's why, you know, we've talked before, we had Bill Curtis on with Donna,
and
we talked about the Earth Matters thing. And to me, that is the crux of the whole deal.
Yep.
This is the only place we have. This is it. I don't care if you like it, dislike the way things are with as far as certain energies and solar power, something like that. But the bottom line is, we got nowhere to go.
No.
And if we don't get our act together,
we're doomed.
We're doomed.
We're doomed. I don't want to.
I want to go out to. in an Italian village with a steak in one hand and a bourbon in the other.
Oh, I don't doubt that you will. That's for sure. You're going to get just what you want, John.
Thanks.
You've been such a good boy.
Okay.
Well, you know, today is the start of the Gold Coast Greek Fest. Starts
yes,
today, runs
that's correct.
Through Sunday. So don't forget that. Saturday night's the National Hellenic Museum Gala. I'm not going to go to that, but it's going to be fabulous, I'm sure. Monday is the Music of the Baroque Gala, which I am going to at the Symphony Center. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
And Friday, of course, is the Flair show for the Chicago Lighthouse. And now listen to this. We have got Chef Art Smith as a model on the runway. He's going to walk with me
You're
in the
kidding.
Finale. No. And we've got Val Warner, who I've yeah. convinced to be in the show, and she's going to be on the runway with her darling husband, Joba Maxi.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have Chili Peppers going to be on the runway.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome? And, of course, this event honors my dear friend Tracy Tarantino de Bono. And the co-chairs are Cheryl Bodine, Sherry Holson, and Sherry Shimmer. And they have done a great, great job with this event. And I'm a co-host. I'm a proud co-host.
Good for you.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
You're going to kind of park Chuck off in the corner, give him a burger, and he'll be good?
Oh, he doesn't go to the fashion shows.
He sits those out?
He's a real night owl, so he prefers the nighttime
Got
events.
Got it.
But I do want to mention one other event that's coming up October 12th. And have you ever heard of a designer by the name of Christian Siriano?
I actually have. I bet you're shocked.
I am totally shocked.
Yes.
Never expected you to answer in the affirmative. How do you know him?
Because you just said his name.
No. Did you know of him before?
But it's in the back of my head when I said that. I'm like, I've heard that name, and it has something to do with fashion. So that's the extent of it. Yeah.
Well, you know, he is a big design superstar. I mean, he's dressed the current president, Joe Biden, Michelle Obama, Angelina Jolie, Oprah, Zendaya, Lady Gaga. I mean, Whoopi Goldberg, Cardi B. I mean, it just on and on and on. And he's going to be in Chicago for the Chicago Costume Council, the Chicago History Museum, to accept the President's Circle Award on October 12th. And my dear friend, Pam Capitanini, and David Mordini are co-chairs of this event, and it's going to be a sellout if it isn't already, which I think it might be. But I'm going to be the only press covering it, so I'm really honored about it.
Exclusive.
Yeah. So you're going to hear all about what he's got to say. You know what his big thing is, that he's really into diversity and exclusive. I mean, not exclusivity, but he includes everyone in his designs. I mean,
mm-hmm.
from plus size models to thinner models, and that's been his forte since the very beginning. And I think one of the reasons why he's so popular, I mean, he doesn't see color, he doesn't see size, and he's got incredible fashion sense. So that makes him quite a special guy. And
That'll
I can't
do it.
Wait. Yeah, I can't wait to hear what he's got to say. So I think that's just about it on my end. John, do you have things you want to add?
It's been a busy time for this boy, so I am kind of slow this weekend. Not a whole lot going on. I'll probably just watch the grass grow and maybe some sports.
You know what? When I woke up this morning and looked outside and saw this beautiful, this reminded me of when I was growing up in Southern Illinois. I used to play 12-inch softball. I was
you
a
did.
Shortstop. Yes, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And days like this were like days that always reminded me of that. And after the games, we'd all go dirty and dusty to the American Legion and shoot pool and drink
right.
beers. And
right.
I mean, it was the most wonderful memories. And these cool summer, fall days, not
yep.
fall, summer, but fall days always remind me of that. So I miss it. I'm going back, though. We're going to go back for a visit.
Very cool. These are football days for me. I remember high school, college, and even when I played semi-pro, this is when we would practice and games would start. So I think of that. And matter of fact, in between now and next time you and I speak, for sure, which is my alma mater on the Northwest side, I'm very active with the alumni, and we actually have put together an alumni appreciation day, and we have alumni come into the homecoming game.
When is it?
So it's the 21st at Lane Tech Stadium over there on Addison. That's where a lot of the high schools play because it's a huge stadium.
Yeah.
So they play their home games there. And so we're going to do that, and we're giving alumni shirts out. And then we're going to do a barbecue, which I'm going to be at the grill.
Over
right behind Scherz at what's called Frank Prio Field. He was our coach for 40 years, 30 years, whatever it was. So the field's named after him. It's a $3 million brand new renovation to Scherz over there. And we'll be doing that with the alumni afterwards. So this is football season.
Can anybody come, or is it
no,
just
you got to be an alumni. You could come. Oh, bring Chuck. I'll cook for you.
Well, listen, now there's an offer I'm not going to refuse, because I'd love anything grilled.
That's it.
I love the way that you're involved with your school, and you got old friends from a long time ago. That's the mark of a really good person when you have longtime friends.
You know, that school was so, everybody has their own experience in high school, but for me, it was formative. It was a lot of things that have stayed with me. I'm so proud of the people I met there, the people I played sports with. And like you said, I have, we do this thing called the Bulldog Bash every year. We skip this year, but we'll do it next March. We'll have 200 alumni come out from across the ages. Since going all back to the 1950s, they come and we raise money for the school. We all feel like that was a pivotal time in our life and we want to give back. And the kids we help have no idea who we are. It's the way it should be.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's incredible. Good for you. That is so admirable. Well, I envy you. That's wonderful. I miss all my hometown's friends, and most of them are gone and moved away. And so it's bittersweet when we go back, but I still love to go home.
You can be an adopted Schur's Bulldog. We'll let you come in.
I accept.
Okay, good.
So, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to this podcast. Didn't you love hearing from Amanda Puck? She is a little live wire, a real spark, just like my co-host, John St. Augustine. I hope you have great plans for the weekend, and I thank you so much for tuning in, and I can't wait to see you the next time on Candid Candace, the podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Candid Candace podcast. For more of what's going on in Chicago, go to CandidCandace.com.